This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
Good morning, friends. Welcome. Welcome to 710 ESPN Seattle. It always feels a little weird to say welcome to Brock and Salk because clearly there's
a few
different voices in the room. My name is Lydia Cruz.
My name is Stacey Ross.
Thanks for joining us. Hopefully everybody having an amazing Memorial Day weekend, enjoying some of the sunshine, enjoying the Mariners sweeping the Minnesota Twins. I don't know how you couldn't enjoy that. Also, this is their longest homestand of the season, so it continues today with some day baseball. Texas Rangers coming to town today. We'll talk plenty of Mariners coming up in this hour at 8:30 specifically. We'll discuss the trade the Mariners made Friday and how it shores up their team for this year, how it makes them more competitive for years to come, and tell you a little bit about the crazy story behind that. Because
it's a good one.
It is really impressive. But in the meantime, we have to talk one of Stacey's biggest loves.
My biggest passion.
This is a huge passion for Stacey, and we managed to make a connection, albeit maybe a thin, small one, between Stacey's passion and the Seahawks. So, yeah. Stacey, take it away. Explain your love.
Actually, hit me with that. There you go. Hello, everyone.
Yes.
Welcome. Join us.
I feel like this is a segment with Delilah. I'm not going to lie.
It kind of does. You're right. It does.
Today, one woman, Becca, will try to find her future love and search, date 25 men. Until she finds the one for her. So tonight is the premiere of The Bachelorette. I know, it's not the best. Just kidding, it is. But one thing I'm excited about, and this did make me think about, is the Seahawks had to get a lot of new faces on this year's roster. There's a lot of new talent, including some second and third year players we haven't seen a ton from. And so every season of The Bachelor and Bachelorette, there's a breakout star that you didn't expect.
Exactly.
And just like PSA, they normally go on to be the next contestant. So
yeah.
That's a hint.
Instead of competing for love, our candidates that we're going to describe are competing for the title of best breakout Seahawks star.
And they're competing for your heart.
That's true.
Seahawks fans.
It is still love in a certain way, in a certain form. Now, why did we choose to do it in this format? Well, here's the thing. When they go on these shows, there's always a bio.
There's a bio. Let me read you an example.
Give us an example of a Bachelorette contestant.
Let me hit you with this. His name is, I think, Camille. He's a 30-year-old social media participant from Monroe, New York.
What does that mean?
What a catch.
He was born in Poland and moved to the United States with his parents when he was 5 years old. He learned English by watching cartoons, which is pretty cool. He has a successful career in real estate and dabbles in modeling. Just don't ask him to get his hands dirty. He has a terrible fear of spiders.
What? Okay.
That's someone vying for
Becca's
heart.
That's a real person, you guys.
Ashley's doing the get out.
Get out now.
Social media participant is his job description. There's another one that's a romantic novel model, like a cover model. And when you go to like Fred Meyer, one of my favorite things about these novels is that they don't even try. It's like the generic brand of a book.
Your shirt off. That's
the
all
woman
that
and the cowboy.
It's beautiful.
That's it.
I guess
so romantic.
Somebody's got to do it. Maybe
right.
It pays well. So,
well, let's get to some of these Seahawks bios.
Let's talk Seahawks specifically. Who is the best candidate to be a breakout star for the Seahawks this year in 2018? Now, we have a guest judge.
Guest judge.
The Bachelorette, I don't know if they do this, but we have a guest judge to weigh in on why each of these candidates might be the potential next choice. Bob Condotta.
Consider him the Chris Harrison of this segment.
Beautiful.
Oh, yes.
Bob Condotta of the Seattle Times generously taking time to be a part of this.
Not at all reluctant
segment.
To do this.
No.
Nope.
So first up on the list, we have...
Secret.
Okay.
This Virgo is actually a former cowboy. He's dying to travel to Iceland, but his heart is anything but frozen. It's running back Chris Carson.
Wow. Great, Stacey.
Thank you.
Bob Condotta on why Chris Carson could be the breakout candidate this year.
The OTAs last week, he looked great, I thought. The OTAs are always really tricky to judge things by because there's no pads and all that kind of everything. Everybody always gives it the qualifiers. But the biggest thing with Carson was he looked healthy and he looked fast out there. They just need to get him back to health. I mean, we saw a lot of potential from him in the four games he played last year. Injuries have always been an issue for him, unfortunately. I mean, really, if you go back to high school, he's had kind of a steady string of stuff. And so I don't know if it's fair to say he's injury prone, but it is sort of the question about him. Is he going to be able to stay healthy and get there and all of that? But if he is, he's going to be a big part of this team this year. They drafted Rashad Penny, and he'll play a lot as well. But you need more than one running back to get through things. And that's what the Seahawks really want to do, is get to a point where they have a couple of really good running backs that they can rely on.
I also asked Bob, I find this very intriguing choice, because will that competitive fire be lit under him? Because for once in a blue moon, the Seahawks utilized their first-round draft pick, and they did it on
a running back.
Yeah, so I find this really intriguing. Bob's response was that, well, he's already a seventh-round pick, so he's got the chip on his shoulder built into this mix. He's always going to be hustling, so to speak.
And by all accounts, looks great at OTAs.
Yes, and
I believe,
jacked.
As Brock said, jacked.
Jacked.
He looks jacked. Everyone is hyped and jacked.
Just as Pete Carroll would love. And I'm a little disappointed that you didn't work his nose ring into the bio, but...
He has a nose ring?
Yeah.
Ugh, I regret everything. Redo the segment.
Redo
Ashley, start it over.
No, not just
yep.
kidding.
Tell there you go. I've taken the reins now.
All right, next candidate. This 6'4", 265-pound tall drink of Bozeman, Montana water spent much of his career as a defensive end before converting to tight end his junior year of college. Go Huskies. Former Montana Gatorade Player of the Year, enjoys blocking opponents, eating bacon cheeseburgers, and being an uncle to his adorable niece. It's even earned the 2018 fourth-round pick the nickname Uncle Will, although he insists that can be attributed to his hairline as well. Others call him Billy Bozeman, but really, Uncle Will is where it's at. Our guest judge, Bob Condotta, on why tight end Will Dissly could have a breakout season.
Dissly in particular is, he's maybe going to be what they thought Nick Vinette a couple years ago might be. When they drafted Vinette, they talked a lot about his blocking, and I think Vinette maybe has been a little bit more of a very tight end, and Vinette really hasn't necessarily proven himself yet either. But I think with Dissly, they think they're really getting that, a guy who, not just the Seahawks, but guys like Mike Mayock of the NFL Network were saying was the best blocking tight end that was available in the draft. And obviously the Seahawks need help. A lot of people ripped them for not doing more to help the offensive line, but I think the Seahawks feel like that's what they were doing with Dissly. If you're adding an inline tight end who's a really good blocker, that's what, you're helping your offensive line, and that's what the Seahawks really see there. I would disagree a little bit on Dixon. I think Dixon has a lot of pass casting potential. He obviously played at Carolina behind Greg Olsen. And so he wasn't always being asked to do a whole lot of that. But, when he's had his chances, he's been pretty good that way. So I think they feel like he's a guy who, he's not going to put up Jimmy Graham-type numbers, but I think they feel like they can throw it to him quite a bit. I think they can find lots of ways to use both Dixon and Dissly together. And then, maybe Vinette as well, use two and three tight ends a lot. I think this is an offense that Brian Schottenheimer is going to put together that way, where I think you will see two tight ends on the field quite a bit. So there'll be room for all those guys to make contributions, I think.
More importantly, we asked Bob Condotta of the Seattle Times to weigh on what Will Dissly's nickname should be, Uncle Will or Billy Bozeman, which is the best.
I sort of like the Uncle Will one, I guess, because it was funny when he talked about that, the receding hairline that he has already. And it was one of those things I hadn't really... kind of realized until I did see him in person, and he sort of pointed to it, and you're like, in 5 or 10 years, it'll really fit. But certainly it kind of fits already. it was kind of fun hearing him talk about it. I mean, Dissly has some personality and obviously a great story from, everything he went through at UW. So, or not necessarily went through, but just kind of the position change and all that, and kind of remaking his career halfway through. So, it's been really cool to see him get to this point.
Yeah. You hear him talk about it there, but I would describe this. Chris Peterson at UW calls it the OKG, our kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
And with everything that Pete Carroll is
doing. Our kind
of
hairline.
Yes, our kind of hairline. I like that. OKH.
OKH.
Receding. Everything that the team has gone through and is clearly going back to their roots, going back to the original philosophy of they want guys here that love to play football, that want to be Seahawks, that can leave check ego at the door. I think Will Dissly absolutely falls into that category. Whether that translates to on-the-field performance, we'll see, but it's pretty interesting. If you're just joining us right now, we are discussing which of the Seahawks we think could have the breakout season. At the end of this, we will give our final rose to somebody.
Yeah.
So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, we've got one more offensive candidate to discuss. Are you guys ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Do you have love to spare? This next contestant will strike out the competition. Former Michigan Wolverine, current wide receiver, also an avid bowler. 6'2", 220-pound, speedy wideout is looking to step up in his second year as a Hawk and elevate his game to a whole new level, a .300 level. because that's a perfect game.
Oh, I like it.
It's wide receiver Amara Darbo. Now, Bob Condotta also commenting on Amara Darbo, what he's been through in the last season and why this year could be a breakout season.
The receiving position is really interesting. I mean, when you know, looking at OTAs last week and you see Doug Baldwin and Tyler Lockett out there, and then you really don't see anybody that has proven anything with the Seahawks. Jerron Brown obviously has done some things in the NFL with Arizona, but it definitely is a group crying out for one or two guys to really make a big leap and become a guy who can show they can be a consistent contributor in the NFL. And Darbo, obviously, as you mentioned, I mean, they did invest a lot in him. That's a not insignificant pick there. There was a thought last year that maybe he would be able to contribute a lot immediately because he came out of sort of a pro-style offense in Michigan. I remember talking to Darbo after the season, and he talked about it was much more of a transition in a lot of ways than he thought it might have been in terms of the playbook and things like that. And he feels like this year he'll, be able to play a lot more freer, and, he won't be thinking as much out there and all of that. And so certainly that'll be the hope is that he can do that. He, certainly looks the part when you see him out there. He's a real physical specimen and all that. And so if they can get him up to speed in terms of just understanding how to play in the NFL, I think that's going to be the big thing for him this year.
Yep, former third rounder. So the Seahawks have invested some draft capital into him. Third rounder, that's nothing to shake your head at.
Not at all.
It would be amazing to see him step up this year, come into his own, because he's sure as heck speedy. He looked great out at OTAs as well. I don't want to continue on the Brock Heward, Mike Salk body image show train, but...
I mean, we might as well.
He looks pretty jacked as well, I guess.
Is he hyped and jacked, do you think?
He's totally hyped and jacked.
Hyped and jacked!
Which is just what Pete Carroll would love. Well, those are our three offensive candidates. Coming up, we will discuss three defensive candidates for potential breakout star of the year on the Seahawks, and we'll give our final rose out. That's next on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Remembering those who have sacrificed for our country. Thank you for your service. From 710 ESPN Seattle.
Welcome back. Hope everybody is having a great Memorial Day, of course. Those who have served always never far from our thoughts on this day. Lydia Cruz alongside
Stacey Rost
in studio, filling in for Brock and Salk today. It's pretty awesome.
And Ashley.
Yeah.
Ashley.
That's our air horn. We like to make air horn quite often.
I'm sorry.
When necessary.
I've been doing that for 2 weeks straight, and
right?
I am not sick of it yet.
Good.
No, love
good.
It.
It's that kind of day.
I do that in the sports pit a lot. Brent Pitt's on headphones. I don't think he's playing music. I don't think they're
don't
plugged
think
in. I think
either.
He's letting me know, like, shut up.
Stacey, don't enjoy this.
Actually, that makes sense, because anytime I say bye and it's not really loud, he's like, oh, bye, Ash.
Yeah. Like, meanwhile, I'm like, Brent, did you hear all my jokes? I waste my best material on him.
In the meantime, we are continuing our segment today. It's Bachelorette themed, which
we're sorry, but also we're not.
Yeah, don't judge.
Don't judge.
The point here is to discuss which Seahawks player could have the most potential for a breakout season in 2018. We're profiling each of these. The first break, we did three offensive players that we could see having that breakout season: running back Chris Carson, tight end Will Disley, and wide receiver Amara Darbo. Right now, we continue on with the defensive players, and we've got guest judge Bob Condotta of
yes.
the Seattle Times. Who else would you want
no
on
one.
Your guest judge
and
panel?
You don't, maybe Chris Harrison,
yeah.
but I don't know about his football knowledge. It's not on par with Bob's.
Not at all.
And that's if you don't have to know how the Bachelorette works, but Bob has some awesome feedback.
That's all you need
feedback.
To know.
Critiques.
So, Stace, take it away with our first
right.
defensive candidate.
This former Buffalo's older brother was a Dolphin. Mike Sando called him the steal of the fourth round last year, and this year he's looking to steal the hearts of Seahawks fans everywhere. It's Tedrick Thompson.
Woohoo! Oh, man, that was a good bio.
Thank you.
Bob Condotta on why Tedrick Thompson could have a breakout year.
I'm assuming Earl Thomas is going to be on the team right now, but if for some reason Earl Thomas was not around when the season began, then Tedrick Thompson would become a much more important part of the team because, he appears to be being groomed to be a free safety down the road. And so, right now with Earl being there, you've still got – obviously they made a pretty significant investment in Bradley McDougal and the contract they handed him. It was interesting with safeties, because they then went out and also signed Maurice Alexander. He's maybe more of a strong safety, but I think could also be a free safety. So they certainly added some guys there. They didn't make it easier for Tedrick Thompson to get on the field this mm-hmm. year, but you're right. He I think they felt like he did some good things in special teams and all that last year.
Tedrick Thompson was a name that you put on this list, Stacey, that you, mm-hmm. you advocated for. Why so?
We had John Schneider on with Brock and Salk around when they were doing the program for Ben's Fund. And he mentioned Tedrick Thompson by name as someone that he thought could take a big step forward this year. He said he was one of the best players on special teams last year. And again, I agree with Sando. I think that the pick was a great one. They clearly stocked up on defensive backs last year. I think they very much saw some of the contract situations or situations with age that they would have this year. And I think that they do have a lot of faith in Tedrick Thompson. So he'll be really interesting to watch along with a couple of the other young guys as they start to fill in that secondary again.
Love it. All right, next candidate on our list. This 6'3", 200-pound Oklahoma State safety-turned-Seattle cornerback is a Gemini who enjoys watching Golden Girls reruns, true story, video games, and can't get enough Will Smith movies. The Converse, Texas native also enjoys spending time with his young daughter. He sounds like a true Rose, or maybe a Dorothy. That's a Golden Girls reference.
Oh, my God, I love it.
It's Trey Flowers. Why... According to Bob Condotta, Trey Flowers could make a huge impact this year.
Flowers is a really interesting guy. You know, he played primarily safety at Oklahoma State, played a little bit of both free and strong safety. The Seahawks want to turn him into a corner. He sort of has typical Seahawk cornerback kind of measurables, you know, being 6'3 and with pretty long arms and all that. You know, he was taken in the fifth round, so it's a little bit of a flyer. You know, they're just kind of looking at a guy at that spot, you know, at that time of the draft and thinking like, hey, if, you know, if we can make this transition with him, then we've really got something here. I don't know if I'm anticipating him having a big role on the team this year, simply because you still have Byron Maxwell, who they did re-sign. And, you know, I guess he would probably have to beat out, by, you know, Shaquille Griffin, you know, they're going to move him to the left corner spot. So that's that. Justin Coleman is going to be the nickel. So it's kind of the right corner spot that there's a little bit of competition there. You know, I think by signing Byron to another contract and all of that, I think they're sort of anticipating he's going to be the starter there. And that maybe gives Trey Flowers a year to sort of, you know, maybe make the roster and be like the fifth corner and play on special teams.
More importantly, I asked Bob if he noticed Trey Flowers' remarkably skinny ankles.
Remarkably skinny.
Remarkably. He said he didn't. I'm not sure if I buy it.
He's lying.
You know, that was one thing of note at OTAs last week. Remarkably skinny ankles. But, hey, that's how Pete Carroll likes him, right? Richard Sherman had pretty skinny ankles.
Well, that's one thing his coach mentioned on John Clayton.
Yeah.
It's just that he has the skinniest ankles, and he
Your
told
coach.
Him to wear extra socks to make them look bigger, which is just the weirdest thing.
It's kind of amazing.
Yeah.
One of our candidates for Best Breakout Player of the Year, if you're just joining us, these are the defensive players that we chose. And finally, on the list.
Finally. All righty, guys. This wild card is considered short for his position, but he'll stand tall to the face of that challenge.
Ooh.
A rookie, I know, thank you. A rookie camp favorite of our own Brock Huard. This former Longhorn is ready to hook ya. It's Puna Ford.
Man, sold already. Bob Condotta on why Puna Ford could be that breakout candidate.
He is really interesting to watch when you look at OTAs because he really is short.
I identify.
See that many. You know, I saw some people kind of comparing him to Brandon Kneebane and things like that, but in terms of what kind of role he can have. But, the height is definitely a little bit – when you just kind of looked at the defensive lineman huddle up, at OTAs, you know, you definitely could tell that, you know, everybody else was taller kind of thing.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean he can't contribute and become a guy. I think both him and Eddie Wilson, who's another undrafted free agent, I think both those guys have a shot to make the roster because there is a lot of uncertainty on the defensive line. No question about that.
So let's round this out. Why did Brock Huard favor Puna Ford? Why was he a favorite of his?
I think he just really likes the way he attacks the ball. I think he also was just surprised. I mean, I don't know. There's so many guys every year that you think should have been drafted, and
mm-hmm.
everyone kind of has that feeling. But he mentioned him as a standout in camp, and he is short, but he's strong. Like he's gonna go after it. So
we're no stranger to people saying our players are too short, and Russell Wilson, we know exactly what happened in that scenario.
Look, I really identify.
You do.
I
do. You brought that up.
I know.
You're like, okay, how short? So to wrap up, let's give all of our candidates one more time. We have three offensive candidates. We have three defensive candidates for biggest potential for Seahawks breakout player. And we're going to hear from Bob Condotta on who he gives his final rose to here in just a second. But first up, it was running back Chris Carson.
We've got Chris Carson.
Tight end Will Dissly. Wide receiver Amara Darbo.
Yes. On defense, we've got Tedrick Thompson, Trey Flowers, and Puna Ford.
So, narrowing down these visits, as they always do on The Bachelorette, you know, they have the home visits, the overnight stays. We don't have any of those. But who does Bob Condotta think, of all these candidates, has the biggest potential for breakout year?
Chris Carson will, for sure. As long as he stays healthy, he's going to have a legitimate, significant role on the team this year. And I think Will Dissly is going to. The way you look at the tight end position and what they've done with it, they're definitely counting on Dissly to be that. I mean, he would basically have to not play well, I think, in training camp to not have a significant role on this team. So I think he probably will too. And, all the defensive guys, I think, are longer shots. I think the three offensive guys you mentioned there all have a chance to do a lot. I think all the defensive guys, just because of roster construction and sort of who's ahead of them, I think are going to have a harder time getting on the field.
So Bob narrowed it down to three potential candidates there, all on the offense, but there can only be one.
There can only be one.
There can only be one winner, of which the final rose goes to.
Well, sometimes there's none. I'm just saying.
That's true.
If we're being,
honest. Yeah, sometimes.
But in this case, there's
one. But in this case, there's one final rose.
This is the final rose tonight.
Yeah. Who did Bob Condotta of the Seattle Times give his final rose to? But if you have to give your final rose.
Chris Carson.
To just
final
one
rose.
Person, does it go to Chris Carson?
Yes.
Final rose.
Woo!
Chris Carson. Let's do this.
There you have it. Our very own version of The Bachelorette today. Best candidate for breakout star this year on the Hawks.
Chris Carson.
It's running back Chris Carson. It's got to be the nose ring. It's the nose ring.
That's what it is.
That's what it is. Thank you guys for playing along with our fun game show this morning. Up next on 710 ESPN, Seattle. We'll get back to the Mariners discussion. They made a huge trade over the weekend on Friday. That news coming down. Jerry Dipoto chatted with Danny, Dave, and more on Friday, explaining what the benefits are of acquiring a reliever and a utility outfielder, a veteran presence, but also, if you listen to the Mariners Wheelhouse podcast, which you should be subscribed to it. You can get it anywhere you get your podcast. But I want to play you a couple clips from this because the story about how this trade came to be, about basically it was drawn up on a whiteboard by two guys in their analytics department, one a former Mariners draft pick. The story is incredible. We'll tell it to you next on 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the final rose tonight.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Whoa, go Ash. Great music selection
today. Cardi.
I don't always just listen to country music.
No, you don't. Welcome back, everybody. Hope everybody is having an amazing Memorial Day weekend. Thanks for being here with us. My name is Lydia Cruz.
My name is Stacey Ross.
Filling in for Brock and Salk today, generously allowing us to fill in on this Memorial Day weekend. Now, over the weekend, the big news would be the Mariners just destroying the Twins. At least in my mind, that's what they did. Sweeping the Minnesota Twins.
There are no more Twins.
There are no more Twins.
It's a really weird fallout from this weekend.
Right?
There are no more Twins.
Side effect. That happening over the weekend. Also, the Mariners making a flurry of roster moves, which we haven't really got to. Not only making that trade on Friday to acquire reliever Alex Colomé and utility outfielder Denard Span, but in the meantime, recalling a couple of people from AAA Tacoma, Dan Altavilla, the righty, getting the recall. Also, Chris Herman, catcher selected from AAA Tacoma. He made his Mariners debut yesterday, had a hit in it, by the way. David Freitas, meanwhile, the catcher optioned to AAA Tacoma. Nick Vincent, unfortunately, placed on the 10-day disabled list with a strained right groin. There was just a moment in the game when he was pitching, and you saw it. He was in pain, needed to leave. So he is headed to the disabled list. Also, Daniel Vogelbach, infielder, optioned to AAA Tacoma. And Taylor Motter, designated for assignment after having a rough start to the year in AAA Tacoma. And I should mention, Gene Segura, not in the lineup yesterday after getting kicked in the head, taking a cleat to the head as he slid into second base on Saturday night, a really scary moment. He's been examined by team doctors on Sunday, hoping it wasn't a concussion, but he's still day-to-day at this point. So we will update you as soon as we have any more information on that. The other huge piece of this on Friday, the news coming down that the Mariners had made a trade. And this is the first big trade of the season. They didn't wait until later on as they could. They didn't wait till June. They didn't wait till the trade deadline to see the market heat up. But Jerry DePoto made a trade Friday to address two of the team's biggest needs, outfield depth and bullpen relief, making a trade with the Tampa Bay Rays, one of his favorite partners, acquiring 34-year-old veteran outfielder Denard Span and 29-year-old right-handed reliever Alex Colome in exchange for two minor league right-handed pitching prospects, Andrew Moore, who made spot starts for the Mariners last year. You're probably familiar with that name, as well as Tommy Romero. They are both headed to the Rays. The deal immediately improves the Mariners after spending the first 2 months dealing with a significant number of injuries, still finding themselves now one game behind Houston in the hunt for the AL West. Yeah, it's pretty incredible. Jerry DePoto was on with Danny David Moore on Friday discussing this, but also, if you haven't listened to the Mariners Wheelhouse podcast, you need to download it. It's great. Jerry DePoto, weekly on with Aaron Goldsmith. They discuss sort of behind the scenes. It's an unprecedented look at what's going on behind the scenes of the Mariners. Jerry DePoto explaining the details of this trade on the Wheelhouse podcast.
Pretty excited about this, really. We have, over the course of the last 10 days, obviously our situation changed a good deal, you know, with Robbie leaving the team and having to reinvent what we were doing, so to speak, with D. Gordon moving into second base, Guillermo taking over in center field, and looking every bit like that was maybe one of the smartest things we could do. He's been great. We feel like in that transition, we did move from a dynamic or impact second baseman to a dynamic impact second baseman. And we've nary skipped a beat with Guillermo Heredia just sliding over from left to play, you know, primarily center field.
So here's a really interesting part of the story, Stace. How this deal actually played out. Basically, two analytics guys proposed this trade. Skylar Shibayama and David Hessling. David Hessling was a 2017 Mariners 34th round draft pick, which is pretty far down in the 40 rounds. But he's a pitcher out of MIT. Basically, the Mariners wanted him to be in their front office, wanted to hire him to be in the front office, but he was going to sign with somebody else who offered them more money. So DePoto got creative and decided to draft him to get him here. Allowed him to pitch 27.1, pretty not great, unmemorable innings in Everett with the Aqua Sox before he ended up retiring and joining the front office here with the Mariners. So now he is apparently coming up with some genius ideas, including this trade. So once again, I think this proves DePoto's ingenuity. He talks a little bit about how that trade came to be with these two guys.
We wanted to find a way to maximize our assets and address as many of our needs as we could with some of the newfound flexibility that we had in the payroll. And we convened here as a front office on multiple occasions over the last 10 days. I would say about close to a half a dozen meetings with our baseball operations and analytics groups, talking about different ideas, thoughts, just think tank sessions. And one of the days, this is kind of where this was spawned, but one of the days, I think Monday of this past week, Our analytics baseball operations group sat in their office space. We call it the bullpen. And they carved up two whiteboards full of ideas, created a matrix with every club and the potentially interesting players that could address our needs. And then their assignment was figure out how to take our assets and make as much impact as we can without really hindering the future of the Mariners. And the more we could do to extend this window while making competitive additions to this club. And Skylar Shibayama and David Hessling came up with this very idea, which what if we called Tampa and tapped into both Denard Span and Alex Colome, you know, effectively answering our need to balance out our lineup, lengthening that lineup with a veteran presence and a lineup mover like Denard Span, and bring in Alex Colome and effectively recreate maybe the Seattle version of that dynamic Indians look to the bullpen, where, you know, with Diaz and Nicasio and Vincent and Cookie now, James Pazos throwing so well, to add a guy like Colome to that mix who's saved more games than any other pitcher in the American League over the last 2.5 years. You know, it's pretty dynamic to have that guy pitching in the eighth inning in front of Eddie Diaz. So we jumped on it, made a couple of phone calls, and we were able to bring it home. Credit to Hess and to Skyler for coming up with such a good idea.
Underrated part of that storyline there is that he refers to Ryan Cook as Cookie, who's just, that's one of my favorite new nicknames right now.
I'm not going to lie. That only did not make me hungry for a cookie, but it warmed my heart like an oven.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, bringing it home right there. If you're just joining us right now, this is Jerry DePoto on the Mariners Wheelhouse podcast. We're discussing the trade that was made by the Mariners on Friday and how that came to be, sort of the non-traditional way that came to be, thanks to two guys in their analytics room. The other interesting part of this story is that Jerry DePoto says he let D. Gordon specifically call Denard Span and make this phone call. Here's how that played out.
None of our players really were aware of this, but it just so happened that these conversations were going on throughout the week. So I did share this with D. Gordon, knowing that he knew Denard a little bit. And I went down and I asked him one day while they were working on his great toe. I said, excuse me, great toe, but what do you think about the idea of acquiring Denard Span? And immediately his eyes almost, came out of his head. He said, are you serious? I said, yeah, that's the idea. And he said, unbelievable guy. What a pro. He fits in our clubhouse. And so today, when we actually did push this deal across the goal line, I called Alex and Manny Acton, and I both spoke to Alex, who has excellent English, by the way. And I did not call Denard. D called Denard and then handed me the phone. Yeah. And D said, he spoke to Denard and then said, I'm going to pass the phone to Jerry. And that was that. And what is a classy response to being traded? I think Denard said, it's really nice to be wanted. And for a guy who's had the career that he's had, I think it's kind of remarkable.
So just to be clear, D. Gordon broke the news to Denard's man?
D. Gordon, my new one of my assistant GM. We'll call him at least for this week. Yeah, one of my assistants for this week.
Assistant to the general manager.
Yes, which is an office reference, right? Yeah. Dwight Schrute.
We try to slip one of those in each episode.
How does this not make you love D. Gordon just a little bit more?
It's such a great story.
Yeah.
Even the idea of, like, I got this one. Jerry.
Yeah, I got this one. Thanks for letting me call him. Well, just to know that even when he is not on the field, we've seen the impact that he has on the field, not only with his play, but with his energy. He's an energizer bunny out there, a spark plug.
Yeah.
But to know that he is still making an impact, even when he is injured, behind the scenes is pretty cool. The last part of this, which Stacey really loves, is Aaron Goldsmith telling a story on the Mariners Wheelhouse podcast about Denard Span in particular, and talks about an interesting story that happened to him involving Willie Mays.
I've never had a chance to talk with Denard Span before. I hear he's just a class act and a terrific guy. One thing I cannot wait to ask him about, a story that I read on him a couple of years ago when he was with the Giants in his first spring training in Scottsdale with San Francisco, and Willie Mays is there, like Willie is so often there in Scottsdale, and he addressed Denard Span as Bernard the entire day. And Denard, knowing who he was talking to, said, yep, it's Bernard.
Whatever you need me to be.
I just think that's pretty amazing.
I know. I've never identified more with a story of just like, who am I to correct this person? Whatever you want to call me, that's fine.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's absolutely amazing.
Yes, my name is Cindy.
You told the story. Who would be your celebrity the way you just let them call you anything?
I think Beyonce, which I know is maybe a stereotypical answer, but just like that star power of like, okay. I mean, outside of athletes, that would be one.
Yeah. Well, it reminded me of a similar story where I was interviewing a Mariners prospect, which, again, I don't want to butcher his name, Nick Neidert, who now doesn't play for the Mariners. And he went to a team in a trade, but he told an incredible story about how he was drafted. He was drafted in the second round, so high up, and Ken Griffey Jr. was reading the Mariners draft pick at that point, and how Ken Griffey Jr. mispronounced his last name, and his mom was like, wait, did you hear that? He just said your name wrong. And he's like, Mom, leave it alone. It's Ken Griffey. He can say my name however he wants to say my name.
I would legally change my name to however he pronounces it. That's how it is now.
It's the kid. So that's pretty incredible. And I also think it speaks to, we talked about our kind of guys, OKGs. Like, Denard Span clearly going to fit in here in Seattle with this clubhouse.
Yeah, definitely a good culture fit for sure.
So it's pretty awesome. Coming up next, it's time for good news, bad news, no news, or is it? Did we put our own? Did we put our own Stacey and Lydia spin on it?
Maybe we did.
That's
no
next.
More Bachelorette.
No, we promise.
No, we're done.
That's next on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Remembering those who have sacrificed for our country. Thank you for your service. From 710 ESPN Seattle.
Good news.
Yeah!
Great news. Muse News.
Oh, welcome back to 710 ESPN Seattle. Thanks for joining us for Memorial Day, a special holiday show. Lydia Cruz alongside
Stacey Ross.
Yes, filling in for Brock and Salk today. And there you heard it. That's our own spin on it.
Good news. I was waiting for that drop all day.
Good news, great news, news, news.
Because news, news.
Here's the thing. Not only is it a holiday and we're feeling very just
we're
relaxed.
Stay positive.
Yeah.
Stay pumped.
Stacey and I are obnoxiously positive. So we just thought, why not?
Let's put our own spin on it. Keep the 3-day weekend going, right? Let's keep the good vibes
Amen,
going.
Amen, ladies.
Yeah,
absolutely.
We can do bad news and stuff tomorrow. For
yeah.
Today, let's get out the
Save
grill.
That.
Do some good news, great news, news, news.
Perfect. What's in the news?
Good news, great news, news, news.
The Mariners sweep the Minnesota Twins over the weekend and are now 12 games above 500 and just one game behind Houston in the AL West.
I'm just going to invent a new category already off the top, the best news.
Okay, well, I wish you would have told me that so we could work it into the drop.
Yep, I'm already defying the categories. I don't know how you don't feel great about this. The Mariners are on a roll right now. They've got all the momentum behind them, and it doesn't matter. Despite losing, you know, key players, star players, Gene Segura, the latest to be out day-to-day with after taking a cleat to the head, it just doesn't seem to matter to this team. And I've said it several times already on the show. You can come at me with any of your numbers, with your statistics, your run differential, your Pythagorean win theorem, whatever you want to tell me that this team should not be good or should not be where they are. Any rational argument.
Right.
And I'll say, I'm sorry. Move along.
Get it out of my face.
Scoreboard. Don't come at me with that. I'm having so much fun watching this team right now, and I think you should be too. Stop trying to explain why they're as good as they are. Just enjoy the ride. Just enjoy the magic.
Yeah, no, agreed. I think for that reason, it's great news. Should I say best news? I feel like I should just echo you. I'm kind of like a group think, peer pressure person.
Yeah.
I'm going to say best news.
Peer pressure.
No, it is. It is. The momentum's great. I think, too, like it brings fans out of the woodwork, like longtime Mariners fans who were just long-suffering fans, too. And it's good to have great baseball like this early. I mean, we're kind of getting into the middle. Still early of the year. We're still early.
First quarter of the year.
Yeah, first quarter. Great news.
Yeah, awesome.
Good news, great news, news, news.
The women's UW softball team is headed to the College World Series after beating Alabama in two games in the SUPA Regional.
I think it's great news. It's great news for the program, and it's more good news for Jen Cohen, who's been able to do some amazing things in the time she's been overseeing Washington Athletics.
Yeah, also great news for Heather Tarr and the program that she's built there. I remember watching Danielle Laurie back in the day, and the greatest excitement of my high school softball career was getting to play on UW Husky Stadium versus Holy Names, West Seattle versus Holy Names, and to be in the same pitching mound and the same pitching circle as Danielle Laurie, of all these women that I looked up to so much. The Husky women's theme this year, their hashtag is Mighty Are the Women.
Which is a great hashtag.
It's amazing.
I love it.
And so congrats to them. Their reign of excellence continues. We'll get to see them in Oklahoma City for the 13th time in program history. Last year they finished third at the College World Series, and this year they'll play Oklahoma in the first round.
On Thursday, May 31st. That's my birthday.
More importantly, Stacey's birthday.
Good news, great news, news, news.
The Mariners trade pitcher Andrew Mora and Tommy Romero for right-handed pitcher Alex Comey and outfielder Gerard Span.
Yes, this is great news. The Mariners are saying, hey, we believe in this team right now. Jerry DePoto is not resting on his laurels, but he's being proactive and saying, hey, we believe in your playoff chances this year. We know you're ailing. We know that you've dealt with a slew of injuries. We're going to go up and we're going to shore up two of the biggest areas of need, which would be your bullpen and which would be your outfield. Gerard Span offers a veteran presence as well, somebody who's been around the game for several years. He's 34 years old, but he can bring that veteran leadership to your team, as well as Alex Colomay. I mean, he led Major League Baseball last year in saves, and he is coming into a situation where he may have to take a setup role. He may have to not be the closer and pitch in that ninth inning, and he's already expressed his desire to do whatever it is for this team, which is the exact type of presence that you want in Seattle. So
no,
great news.
Agreed. I unfortunately cannot make this one about my birthday. I know. My narcissism. But I agree. It's great news, and I know I said this in our first segment, but I think one of the best things it does is just really add some, like you said, joy and energy into that clubhouse, and that's really the best thing you can get for momentum like they have right now.
Good news, great news, news, news.
The Stanley Cup Finals begin tonight between the Vegas Golden Knights and the Washington Capitals.
Let's go. This is great news. I know some people will say it's not. Okay, you know what? I'll go back to
I was going for news news almost, I'll but go. I'm going to let you take
you
it.
You know what? I'll take a step back.
Okay.
Because everything's been great so far, and yeah. I should probably tone it down. I'll go back to good news because, yes, does this set some expectations for Seattle when their eventual NHL franchise is here and what they should accomplish? Because the Vegas Golden Knights making history and going in their first season. Yeah, that's probably some unrealistic expectations, but I don't know. Anything that gets people behind hockey and interested in the NHL is good for Seattle in my mind, so I say good news.
I agree. I think one of the better things, and I know we make this argument all the time in the sports pit for me since I'm not on with you guys, but I know you guys have talked about it a lot on Brock and Sock, is whether or not the success of Vegas, what it means for Seattle, and the tone is generally like, oh, I don't know that it's that great. They might change the expansion rules. What does it mean for, like you said, expectations? But I totally agree. I know I'm just echoing you here, but I think that the more momentum you can get behind the NHL, the more fans you can bring in. It's also a great way for folks in Seattle who are kind of getting into the NHL to prepare for a team coming here to watch a team that is getting a lot of attention right now that they hope Seattle would be able to mirror. So I say good news.
Good news. Great news. News news.
Nick Vincent is placed on the 10-day disabled list, and Gene, the hitting machine, takes a cleat to the head, but still remains day-to-day.
Yeah,
this just sounds rough.
No,
how,
no.
I'm trying to think how I can spin this into good news. I'm going to say news news because I do think it's just news news. Although, did I read right that Gene passed the concussion protocol? So that would be good news. I think it could be a lot worse. You see situations like that, and with the injury... bad injury luck that Seattle has had. I think it's, I don't know, can you spin this into good news?
I think it's, yeah. I'll say, yeah, it's also news news. It's
news
very
news.
Unfortunate, but I will say the good news aspect of it is that the team still managed to win with one of their best hitters, their
right.
most consistent hitters out of their lineup. Now, they're down basically their leadoff hitter and their second, their two-hole spot hitter, and they are still able to generate some offense.
Right.
So that, I would say, is the small teal lining there.
Teal lining.
Good news. Great news. News news.
Last one on the agenda, ladies. The Cavs beat the Celtics 87-79 in Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals.
I say it's good news. More LeBron is better for everyone. What I wrote down. And I'd love to see Houston and the Warriors play tonight.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Game 7.
I would honestly like to see Houston go. I don't know. I'd kind of like to mix it up a bit. It's like, do I really want to see the Cavs and the Warriors again? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know that I do.
All I'll say is LeBron, who bets against LeBron? I don't know. I wrote this on Twitter yesterday. I hope there is a support group out there for people who dislike LeBron. Because I can't imagine how difficult a life that is to lead.
People who dislike LeBron are people who just, they hate, they'll like it until everyone else likes it, and then they decide they hate it because of that.
Maybe.
Like, there is no rational reason that you don't like LeBron.
Yeah.
Do you not like greatness?
Yeah, you just don't like good things.
Yeah.
That's
you
not
hate
for everybody.
Happiness.
That's not for everybody, I guess.
Yes.
Well, that is a special edition of great news, of good news, great news, news news, courtesy of myself, Lydia Cruz, and...
and myself, Stacey Ross.
Yes, sitting in for Brock and Salk today. Thank you so much for joining us on this Memorial Day weekend. Up next, we'll discuss that Mariners weekend. It was really impressive for so many reasons. Some of the highlights for us and what they mean for this team in 2018. That is next on 710 ESPN Seattle.